This week's episode of Legends of Gotham is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Gotham. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Again, that link is audibletrial.com/Gotham.
I believe you left this on my desk.
It's a riddle.
It's a cupcake with a live bullet sticking out of it.
It's a riddle.
It's menacing and weird and inedible.
Next man who tries to take my shield one way or another, I'm going to make him eat it. And it's metal, too. Arr! Welcome to Legends of Gotham, where we talk about Fox's hit series, Gotham, set in the real world of Batman. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And we're back!
We're back!
A Dinosaur Story is a movie that came out several years ago that we're not talking about on this podcast.
No,
we're talking about last night's wonderful, wonderful, eventful episode of Gotham.
So much stuff happened.
Oh, yeah. It was
like so much stuff.
It was virtual insanity, except it was real. It actually happened. One thing, since we did have a skip week there, I just thought I'd throw this out there. In case anyone missed it, we did do a Gotham roundtable with the cast of Gotham After Show and Andy from the Flash podcast. So that's episode 20 of Legends of Gotham. If you want to go back and check it out, if you missed it, we talked pretty much the first 10 episodes. Probably some of the speculation is wrong now.
Because this went so many places we weren't expecting.
Yeah, but you know, this episode was so like crazy. I think we should probably go ahead and get into the discussion on it. Why don't you go ahead and start us off with our rhyming, riddling summary?
Riddles. Is Mr. Cobblepot always the smartest? He is till he's hit by an electrical artist. Who would abduct Falcone's sainted Liza? The same one who found her, then synthesized her. Will the commish rehire Jim? Gordon's sure hoping. Will Falcone please stop it with all the nape groping? If penguins are birds, how can they swim?
Good question.
Who cares? Let's talk what the little bird told him.
What the little bird told him.
Yeah, no. This is not a musical episode.
It's not?
No.
You'll see. I need to leave then because I came here expecting a musical episode.
Bye-bye.
What was the song from the last episode, the Tempest musical song? I forget.
I don't know.
I was going to start singing it, but I can't remember how it goes. What did you think of the episode overall?
I loved it.
You did.
I so loved it. I like that they picked up the pace on most of it.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing they picked up the pace that I didn't like, but we can get to that.
Yeah.
But everything else, I wasn't expecting us to get there with Fish so soon.
Yeah. Well, this is another one of those episodes, and we were talking about this a little earlier, where it feels like another episode where it feels like we're getting what we should be getting at the end of the season.
Right,
you know?
Or even a mid-season finale would have made sense, but this is just like...
Well, who knows? Maybe they had it originally slated for the mid-season finale or something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, it's only a couple episodes removed from the mid-season finale, but
it's true.
Really good episode. And I actually, right up top here, before I get into my main point, I just wanted to mention, if we don't get to it, absolutely loved Peter Scolari as the commissioner. I forget what the name was. I don't know if I caught the commissioner's name.
Interesting.
But
we are going to get to it.
Oh, we are? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, then we'll talk about it in a couple of minutes then. Okay.
You didn't read ahead.
I didn't. First off, and I guess I could apply this descriptor to myself, too, based on that little exchange there. Dumbest penguin ever.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
Like, this was the episode, and this isn't critical of the writer or anything. It was like a means to an end, but Penguin made some of the dumbest decisions he's ever made in the show. He's always been a character that it feels smarter than everybody else in the room, and you know he has things playing on. Mm-hmm. In this episode, he was just like off his game, but somehow he still
won. He was electrocuted.
Well, I mean, even before that.
Yeah, he really was.
Oh, I got to go talk to my mom.
I totally thought when his phone rang that it was Jim.
Yeah.
I honestly did think that it was Gordon.
You know what I loved about that little moment, though?
What?
Wait, like, after he gets off the phone and he just, like, he's looking at the camera and, like, oh, yes, Fish, now you've played right into my hands with the restaurant scene going on behind him. It was so, like, you know, an actor just stepping up to the front of the stage for him to kind of do
his doing his monologue.
Little thing. But, yeah, first of all, throughout this entire season, we've been seeing Oswald go through a journey of, you know, revenge and lust for power and all that stuff. Yeah. Killed so many people.
So many people.
Double and triple crossed so many people. Had plans with Falcone against Maroni and Maroni against Falcone and all this stuff. And, you know, everything that's gone on. And he almost blew it with like four words.
Urgent business with Falcone.
Urgent business with Falcone. And it was just like, man, like if that had been – and I'm sure there's still going to be fallout from it. But if that had been the end of his journey, like I would have been like, man.
It could be the end of his journey because we know that he goes on.
He becomes the Penguin. In the other thing too, and this was more prevalent, more so than the restaurant scene, but when they were in the police department, mm-hmm. his insistence on the mother excuse and his like almost like petulant child, please believe me, even though I'm lying.
Yeah.
And you could tell his insistence made it seem less believable, and you could tell Maroni wasn't buying it. So I was kind of wondering, like, why did Maroni let him go?
Because he wanted to see what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. He probably followed.
So do you think he was followed?
He's absolutely followed.
See, I was kind of thinking that maybe he was like, you know, Penguin's going to do what Penguin's going to do, but I'm going to go kill his mom or something. You know, since the mom was the big excuse,
Oh, Mrs. Yeah. Gobbleboot.
Yeah, I kind of think her days, Carol Kane's days, might be numbered.
Front row.
Or at least maybe we might get a good scene with her, which we've been missing out on the past few episodes.
We've been missing on quite a few mm-hmm. people's good scenes the past couple episodes.
Anyway. You know, I think, though, regardless of any dumb decisions the Penguin made, mm-hmm. Because of what he did for Falcone in this episode and, you know, throughout the season, too, I think he's going to be very well protected against mm-hmm. any Maroni backlash, although his mom might not be.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Mm. Okay, so like I said, Fish and Butch, that storyline definitely sort of like went in hyperdrive. Mm. Wasn't expecting it, and Fish doesn't seem even remotely excited at the prospect of taking over the entire family. This is what the entire season has been about for her. Mm-hmm. And she's like depressed about it. I'm like, you're the one who chose to, like, push the fast-forward button.
Well, I kind of got the impression that she might be regretting it a little bit.
That was my next thing. Like, does Fish regret her choices? And I think she does. mm-hmm. I think – and especially after he showed up and was talking to her and she was like, bad word. Fudge. Ash. Fudge, if you will.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bullock. Oh, fudge. You'd have never said fudge. What to say? Oh, but then I think it's weird that on the opposite side, Butch is like a small child in a candy store. Mm-hmm. He's like, Fish! He gave up that easy?
Now, when I was doing my second watch through, I was writing notes and I was trying to come up with my thing and all this stuff. I was a little distracted. Did Butch show up in that last scene at all? Was he was one of the two that got taken, or is he gone?
Oh, Butch is alive.
Well, I just know that Falcone said that all of your people are dead.
And he said, I want these two alive for a while.
And Butch was one of the two.
Butch is one of the two. I think he knows that Butch is very important, and I don't even mm-hmm. know necessarily if he's anti-Butch.
Yeah.
For all we know, Butch is working for Falcone, too, because he kind of has that kind of way about him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, what was I going to say?
Oh, yeah, and it was a lot earlier than you were expecting.
That's not the one I was trying to figure out. We'd already mentioned that. I wrote, who will also be the one to finally take them out? Mm. So it's like, who's going to be the one to kill him?
He has people for that.
He has people for that, but I think Penguin would want to be the one to do that. Penguin is the people?
Likely. Falcone seems kind of like the guy who would probably read Penguin as too emotional to handle that job.
I don't know, based on the preview.
When you get emotional, you get slippy. As Fish learned, or you get a...
Sloppy?
Sloppy, yeah.
Yeah, slippy is not it.
You get slippy, too, especially when you're a penguin.
And sloppy, oh.
But showing emotion in these kind of, I don't know, societies or hierarchies or whatever, it is weakness, is death. And when Fish kind of gave Falcone the generous out, I mean, Falcone was considering it, but when he found out about Liza...
Oh, no, he was sold. He was going. And Zaz mm-hmm. was going to be his bodyguard, which he was not very happy about.
But once he realized he was the one, or they were doing wrong by him, mm-hmm. I think that little weakness that Fish showed was like, okay, I'm going to go down there and I'm just going to... Her club's mine.
Yeah. You know? She's like, yeah, this is mine again. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Very good stuff, though. Very good stuff. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes next week, for
it
sure.
It really is.
Okay, so I guess we should talk a little bit about the big bad for this episode, the electrocutioner. Here, I'll show a picture of him to the video stream real quick, which, by the way, we record these 8:30 p.m. EST Tuesday nights on YouTube.
On the YouTube.
You can subscribe to our YouTube at youtube.universebox.com to get the episodes, because we like waving hi to the camera about every 4 minutes.
We like to call you out if we know you're there, Bobby Hawk.
Yeah, hi, Bobby Hawk.
Hi, Bobby Hawk.
But yeah, the electrocutioner. First of all, we did get a little bit of an idea of what his manner would be last week, but he really got to just be big and out there and awesome this week.
Yes.
The actor did such a good job. Just his phrasing, his tone of voice, like the way he said things was just like, you could tell the dude was a little nuts, right?
I didn't put this in there. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I thought that entire first scene was beautiful. With the music, the...
the Johnny Cash music?
Yes, Johnny Cash with the newspaper.
I love that song, too, because that's on... Yeah. I believe it's the last album that Johnny Cash released. Had his Hurt cover on it. Gonna go on.
No. This is not the musical. No, don't.
Sooner or later.
I will throw washi at you.
No. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Why do you doubt me? No, but it was just so beautiful, which is weird because, you know, he's in this big leathery, rubbery getup with this, dude behind him attached by a wire. And it just was, up until the time they got to the door, it was awesome.
Well, I mean, even that newspaper flying around with the thing, that it was very reminiscent. Comic books do that a lot. They'll open up with here's the news story in the town that's going on. And then we pull back and we see how it's affecting the hero or whatever. It evokes Watchmen for me. Dark Knight Returns a little bit. And also on the back, they mentioned that there was a prop plane accident, which some people were theorizing was a reference to Superman's ship crashing. The government covered it up by saying it was a plane or something.
No.
I think it was more of a Green Lantern reference because Hal Jordan's father, I forget his first name, but he was a fighter pilot, right? Mm. And a part of Hal Jordan's origin is that his dad died when he was a kid in a plane crash.
Okay.
So I took it as a Green Lantern reference, not a Superman reference.
I didn't even notice it on
except for the flippy flying paper.
I saw the flippy flying paper.
And I was trying to find here because we had talked last week a little bit about the electrocutioner, about how there was a different electrocutioner in the comics that Batman had faced several times, and that he was – part of his origin was that his brother had been the electrocutioner before him and had also gone unnamed. Guy's last name was Buczynski, I think, which is the exact same name as John.
What they used.
Yeah.
Jack.
Or Jack, rather. So yeah, this is definitely the original electrocutioner, the modern electrocutioner's brother.
Interesting.
So I thought that was good to know.
That's kind of fun. I like that.
And I really enjoyed that they made him ultimately he really wasn't that much of a threat. He could be he could be defeated with a glass of water, which is
yes.
Two things is one, it's a very comic book thing to do, just kind of build up this tension and there's going to be this big battle and then just kind of deflate it. And it's a very comic book way to approach it, which I really liked. And it's also – it goes to show that in Gotham City, it's all about presentation.
Yeah.
It's all about the way you present yourself is to how big of a threat people perceive you as. Because, I mean, he didn't actually have that much power, but seemed it, you know.
He sort of took down the whole GCPD, but he only shocked them. He didn't kill them, which wasn't what he expected.
Yeah. And I also kind of wonder if maybe Ed Nygma picked – he definitely keyed in on the name and the dramatic nature of the electrocutioner and everything. So I don't know. Maybe he'll throw on a supervillain costume somewhere down the road. I don't know who he could be.
I don't know who he could possibly be.
I don't know. I just like that he –
He likes these riddles.
Yeah, the riddles that he gave Kristen Kringle and stuff was always good.
Red Velvet Cupcake.
But you had a couple more thoughts on the electrocutioner?
Yes. I thought it was almost sad that he was – that it took more to beat up his goon than to take him down.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just stood there watching the goon go down. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of expected. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as the water is splashed on him, he's like,
done.
He's like, And I'm done. I'm not even going to fight. That's all I had. I have no physical strength.
Yeah, and he was even kind of smiling. I'm like, okay, you got me.
You got me. You got me.
We were having a really good scene here, though. Yeah. Can we keep going on with this dramatic scene that we're doing and posturing?
I did like the whole thing with Enigma and the galoshes, being like, you may want to wear your galoshes. Mm-hmm. And he's like, fork them over. I got the galoshes.
Yeah. And I also like that Harvey's still like, Ed, and Jim's kind of coming around to him a little bit.
He's like, fork it over. Take care of me. Because he knows he's not dumb.
He's just weird.
Yeah. So another thing was, I didn't like how quick that wrapped up the electrocution. I would have liked to see that sort of stretch out for at least another like – half episode or something. It was just a really good villain. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fun.
Well, they can always bring him back because he's just sitting in a cell.
You know, just break out again.
Yeah,
because no one's watching him.
I would actually like to see. Well, I guess he'll probably go back to Arkham. I'm guessing
who
The electrocutioner.
He's not going to Arkham.
You don't think so?
No.
What's that?
Because he lied to get into Arkham. He wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, that where else do you send crazy?
But he's
prisoners?
But he's not crazy. It was all intentional. I don't think he was crazy.
I think he was crazy. I also think it was all intentional. I think you're wrong and right in the same sentence.
Okay. Well.
He because, I mean, a sane person doesn't do that sort of thing.
A sane person doesn't kill and rape people either.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but then the entire jail is a crazy house.
Yeah.
And he's very deliberate. Crazy people don't do it deliberately. Well, he made his people, whoever his people are, which actually maybe that's how he'll come back, is whoever his connections were, change his file so he would be transferred and change his name and everything.
Like, well, I mean, I don't think that you can necessarily like make a delineation there's crazy and there's smart. Because, I mean, look at real world examples like Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. He was nuts. He was also a genius. He was a scientist, right? And Ted Bundy, he was totally nuts, but he managed to cover up those murders for several years, you know? I mean, so I mean...
I don't
think they're mutually exclusive is what I'm saying.
Okay, I can see that, I guess. But I don't think he's going back to Arkham. He's already broken out of it once.
Well, maybe he'll go down into that – wherever that nurse was from last episode, you know.
Poor nurse.
Down to the basement. They'll put him down in the basement.
Okay, and one last thing with it. Why was no one watching the perimeter of the GCPD? They knew that he was coming there because that's why they brought Maroney there. That is literally why they brought him there.
Yeah.
And nobody was watching the back alley. Nobody noticed that we're looking for the electrocutioner.
Ed did a little bit.
Well, yeah. Ed knew what was going on because he was like, what's that noise? Mm-hmm. But he's a coroner. He can't really do much. Anyway.
Yeah, he was stuck in the wall.
Yep.
Doing some arc welding.
Yep.
Good times, good times. Well, before we get back into the main discussion, we'll take a little break here, and I guess it's time, and it's been a while since we've done this, so I hope we remember the song.
Oh, wait.
It's time to look at this Joker. Look at this Joker. He's pretty cool.
Hey,
he doesn't go to Joker school.
Really?
Look at this Joker.
I'm going to throw the other washi at you.
Look at this Joker. This is where we go and we look at any Joker references that the writers of Gotham have managed to slip into the show this week. And so you'll see here, you know, we have the comedian from the first episode, Laszlo, who we've never seen again.
Laszlo.
Our suspect for the Wayne murder, and on and on and on. And then we get to this week right here, what the little bird told him. And there really wasn't all that much.
Nope.
Basically, the only thing I could pull out of this was that Penguin was wearing a suit that was kind of greenish purple.
That's horrible.
But I really like that color combination. It's my favorite color combination. So I thought it was worth mentioning.
Okay.
But if you guys caught any Jokers that we missed, go to legendsofgotham.com, click on Look at This Joker right at the top, and you can go ahead and leave a comment on here and let us know, and we'll go ahead and add it.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Because obviously our Joker pick for this episode is not so thrilling.
Nope. There's the Anne-Marie
camera.
Anne-Marie, we're going to do another little contest here. You want to tell people about it? Here, I'll give you the prizes real quick.
You know what's really fun? He told me nothing about the contest, but I figured it out. Because here's what I was told. Giveaway full questions for how MCU for reviews. That's all I've been given. So these handy dandy questions that I came up with for How MCU Are You?
Yeah, How MCU Are You? If you don't remember, it was the game show that we played when we had Montoya and Allen from Gotham, the actors who play Montoya and Allen on Gotham on. We did a big show. Yeah.
We did a game show. It got a little crazy. Mm-hmm. But we have the questions and we want to send them to you, but we want some reviews first. How long are we giving them?
I was going to do this like a short run review
like
contest.
2 week?
1 week.
1 week.
1 week. Anyone
it's
who leaves.
1 week.
Including Pride Girl here who left one this week. Why don't you read Pride Girl?
Okay, I read Pride Girl.
Find the rules.
Okay, scrolling. All right, enjoyable. This is a 4-star review.
And these are reviews on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, by the way.
Yes, please. These two come at things from a different perspective. While one of them is very versed in the world of Gotham, the other is exploring this land week by week as an unseasoned fan. It's a fun journey, and while sometimes the episodes run a bit long, that's the first time anyone's ever said that about us.
Yeah, we were getting the complaint they were too short
a few months ago.
Yeah.
It's worth a go for fans of Gotham new and old. Exactly. He knows what the heck's going on, and I'm just winging it. So...
Yeah, but
we would love to have your review. It doesn't have to be good. We prefer it be good, but it doesn't have to be good.
Yeah, it can be 1-star. I hate this podcast.
But I want to win the prizes.
And we'll read it on the show.
We will.
And
we'll call you out.
And we'll also pick our favorite one next week to give the How MCRU original questions. There are questions on here that we didn't even ask.
Oh, yeah. There's secret questions.
And me and Anne-Marie will both also write a personal message on here and sign it for you before we send it out and stuff.
We can do that.
And we'll sign it in our blood, too. So it's a collector's
item. I'm not going to sign anything in my blood. Then they have my DNA.
You won't need to know. Okay, let's see here. We'll go ahead and move back into our main discussion. Let's see here. Okay, Barbara.
Oh, Barbara.
Barbara, hey, the girlfriend or fiance people love to hate.
No, we just hate her.
But I really liked her this episode. Like I kind of
she was like a dog with her tail between her legs.
But I think I might see more where they're going with her now.
Share with the group.
Well, first of all, she doesn't have anybody else. As we see in this episode, even her parents kind of hate her. They're like, oh, hi, Barbara. When are you leaving? Oh, you want to stay? Oh, you can stay like...
till the weekend.
8 hours and then you're out. Bye.
Stay till the weekend.
So she's kind of like been backed into a corner here by her dangerous, bad decisions to where she has no one left in her life. And desperation breeds... opportunity, I guess. Like, yeah. I mean, if you don't have anything to lose, you're willing to do just about anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of thinking at this point that maybe they're angling Barbara to be the first big, like, super villainess. Mm. Like, maybe she's going to throw on some tights and a mask and call herself Drug Woman or something.
The Drug Lord. Lordess. That would be interesting.
Montoya's cast off.
So one quick question about that, though.
Mm-hmm.
She has a job.
Well, isn't her job just artist?
I thought she was a curator.
Is she a curator?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was kind of curious as to why she hadn't gone back to the apartment. Does she think that Jim's still staying there?
I think so.
Because he's not.
No, he's not.
Like, there's some street kids there every once in a while. But no, what's that?
If you set up a police precinct to be fully electrified, you may have a few screws loose.
Possibly.
This is true.
Very possibly. Was that Bobby?
Yeah.
Nice. But one other thing I was thinking about is, you know, we see Barbara, who is kind of like unlucky in love and becoming more and more dangerous because of that. Mm-hmm. There's one other character on the show that's kind of walking the same path, and that is Edward Nygma.
Mm-hmm.
With his infatuation with Kristen Kringle. So I'm wondering, maybe him and Barbara, maybe they'll be a team up. Maybe either he'll finally emerge as the Riddler, or he'll be her man on the inside, you know, while they're both getting revenge on their exes or never wases or something.
Interesting.
The whole Kristen, did you talk about that at all?
It's literally the next point.
Okay, then why don't we go ahead and move on to it?
I'm like, you're reading. You can see it right there.
I don't read your points. They're not in bold.
Sorry, that was a little high.
That's fine.
Okay, so Kringle, she seems to actually be coming around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know the first part where she's like, you left this on my desk. It's dangerous. She's cranky. But when he goes down to explain the riddle, she does smile and give it a chuckle.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. It was like, It seemed a situation like she was kind of into him, but she didn't want to appear like uncool in front of the other guy in her department.
Dude?
Just some guy in her department, I think. In the archives.
Maybe. We'll see. I don't know who he was.
But it reminded me of, I mean, I here, and I'll switch back to this. But, you know, I was a little bit socially backwards in high school and stuff, and it actually reminded me of my first girlfriend, who was all, when we were going to the same high school, was all about being my girlfriend when we weren't at the high school. When we were at
was
the high
was she even cool?
Yeah, she wasn't cool, but she was well known, at least, I guess. But you know it just reminded me of that, because, you know, when we were away from the high school, she was all about being boyfriend, girlfriend, lovey-dovey, all that stuff. When we were in the high school, I couldn't wave to her in the halls while we were passing, or like I would get berated for it later on in the day. And Kristen's reaction here to Ed kind of reminded me of that exact same kind of dynamic.
That's crazy.
Cray-cray.
Cray-cray. Yeah, that's pretty much all I really had with her. I'm just glad we got to see her again, and I want more.
Oh, yeah, like, I do. It feels kind of upsetting that we have made it past December with a character named Kristen Kringle, and she hasn't, like, donned a red and white striped hat and had some sort of candy cane weapon or something at this point.
Next year.
Next year, maybe.
Setting it up.
Or actually, maybe they'll just do it, like,
random.
Completely, like, away from December to, like,
in March.
Element of supply.
Surprise.
Supplies. No, element of supplies.
There's going to be paper towels.
Going back to the mask episode, or the black mask episode. Oh, you know what?
I like this next one.
Oh, yeah. I also totally forgot that.
Didn't you close the clip?
I did delete the clip. But
I know. I was like, you what?
Basically, we had a big theory here. Mm-hmm. I think I can pull it back up here. Yep, here
one
it is.
Would hope.
We had a theory going on a couple months ago about Liza and Falcone. I'll go ahead and play a little bit of it, and then we'll tell you how I was wrong. Okay, so I have a theory about this episode.
I love your theory.
Okay. I'm pretty sure Fish's weapon did not hit its intended target. I'm pretty sure that Liza actually botched her assignment in this episode. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, when she's given the poison, or not the poison, the sleepy time. Sleepy time blend. And she's told to, you know, put it in the tea and everything. She totally could have stepped behind that table to be facing the door while she was pouring it in.
She couldn't do that because then somebody could see what she was doing.
Yeah, but with her back to the door, she couldn't see anyone coming in while facing the door. At least she could have seen a shadow or something and kind of palmed it or whatever. I mean, I'm just speaking from my experience of drugging people. That would be the smart way to do it.
Note to self, but always fill your own cup.
Anyway, because she drops the vial and...
Because of the wonderful things he does.
No, but she drops the vial and drops about half of the sleepy time blend out of it. So here's my theory. Here's what I think happened. Because she didn't use the whole dose, Falcone woke up when she was in there getting the papers. Mm-hmm. And so he's upset, obviously. He realizes what's going on.
I'm sure she ratted on Fish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because she was kind of... Yeah, so basic gist is that... Liza was actually working with Falcone when she went and offered an olive branch to Fish,
yeah.
Like a one last opportunity before you mess up Falcone's life. Mm-hmm. And obviously,
wrong.
Yeah, I believe I ended that that point saying either Liza's working with Falcone or she just really likes the old guy. And I guess
ding 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 ding, we have a winner.
She was just quite fond of him, more or less. So one theory shot down. I think we're still right on the money with the Wayne killer, though.
Which we haven't even revisited lately. But how we were given a good old rest in peace there to Liza.
Mm-hmm.
He also loved her, too.
Yeah.
He really did, because, like, when Fish called...
She was literally the same actress as his mother, so...
yeah, I liked the flashback, though, because we don't get that very often. But he was like, don't hurt her, she's a civilian.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was weird, but kind of cool that he doesn't think of her even remotely as part of the business.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like the distinction between him and, like, say, a Maroni. Maroni's just like, I gotta win, and whoever gets in my way, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Falcone still has sort of a sense of honor, and he doesn't want to involve innocent people unless he absolutely has to.
Right.
But once he finds out that Liza's not innocent, everything's... Yep.
There went your neck, honey.
A little neck massage there.
Yeah. Oof.
Okay, so you want to talk a little on the commissioner?
Yeah.
The commish?
I kind of have the complete opposite feelings as you. Mm-hmm.
Well, you go ahead and share them, and then I'll...
I thought he was boring. Mm-hmm. I thought he was really boring.
Well, they didn't give him a ton to do.
So there's that, too. But I don't feel like we really got to know him at all. I think he's kind of a little scared of Jim, but Jim was a bit nutty in this episode and was scaring everybody mm-hmm. except... You know, Gorkin.
Jim grew some testicles in this episode.
Yeah. Yep. He basically was like, nope, we're going to do this. I'm going to do whatever. Mm. And then he thought that was playing safe.
Yeah.
What about threatening the commissioner to save your people? So there's that.
No, I like the commissioner, though. But I like Peter Scolari, too, a lot.
I still didn't recognize him.
He was, I forget his, Michael on the Newhart show. And he also played the Rick Moranis role in the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids TV series.
Both of these are references he mm-hmm. gave me earlier. And
he was also the other buddy on Tom Hanks' first sitcom, Bosom Buddies. So he wore a dress a lot. But no, I enjoyed him. Like I said, I think they should have given him more to do. I hope he'll be back.
He has to be back.
And I also kind of dug that the glasses they had him in were very much Commissioner Gordon glasses. Like, so I thought that was kind of like a little foreshadowing. Maybe the glasses come with the office.
They're on top of the desk.
One other thing about him, though, that kind of had me going, was just like the power structure of Gotham City. Because, you know, the mayor put Jim in Arkham. And now the commissioner comes in and he can undo that.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's just like he owes the mayor a favor, or it's like they're trying to pull Jim in a different direction because of, you know, the things going on behind the scenes, the secret society stuff.
Who do you think's paying the commissioner? Because we know who's paying the mayor.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
I think it has to be Maroney's has the commissioner, because everybody else is by Falcone and they're all like, Essen was like, no, you gotta get out of here.
Well, I could definitely see that, because all of the commissioner's actions in this episode ended up protecting Maroney. So, mm-hmm. so I could definitely see that.
So somehow Maroney got the commissioner, but Falcone got everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, which is better? You know, I mean, it's sort of. Mm-hmm. It's one of those.
We shall see. Okay, I had just a couple minor quibbles I wanted to go through here real quick. Okay, first off, as much as I loved him in the other episode, I forget what the name of the actual episode was, so I'll just use the name of our episode discussing it, All That Zazz. and All That Zazz. But anyway, no, I really liked him in that episode. But this episode, it was weird. It just seemed like he was just kind of hanging out, being creepy, just really to give Falcone someone to vocalize his internal emotions to. And it was just like, does he just hang out in Falcone's kitchen all the time?
He's Falcone's guy.
He is. But
he got important at the end.
I think it's just a situation where I know where the character eventually goes. And we saw a good bit of that when he goes into the GCPD. Exactly. And even the actor was trying to do it in those scenes with Falcone, some of that craziness, but they were just like info dump scenes and kind of, we need to see what's going on inside Falcone's head, but we can't have him talking to the camera because he's not that kind of character. So let's put Zazz there.
Yeah, but that also reintroduces Zazz, because it's now been a significant amount of episodes since we've seen him.
And I did enjoy that Zazz's girls were back.
That's one of my...
The, like, Riot girls?
Yeah, but that's one of my...
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
But, you know, I also... It kind of annoyed me that there was no Bruce and Alfred again.
That makes me sad.
I love them touching base with those characters every episode.
Even like, just, like, a little five-minute throwaway. There was no Cat.
No Cat, no MCU, no MCU. Montoya or Allen.
So sad.
Like, curses.
Curses, Gotham!
Yeah, some of our favorite characters were left
on
the table.
Most of our favorite characters were not there.
But hopefully that means they'll be in next... Well, actually,
well they weren't in last time either.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is two episodes in a row without them.
Wow.
But I believe we're coming up... It's not a... So 12, 13... Within a couple weeks, we should be seeing them again, because I know that Victoria and Andrew said when they came on the show that they were about to shoot episode 15, I think.
Was it?
Yeah, something like that. So so hopefully they'll be back soon.
They have to.
And the one last complaint I had concerns hashtag Gorkins. The Gordon.
I love that it's hashtag Gorkins.
The Gordon Leslie Tompkins ship.
Gorkins.
Which I guess it's Lee now, which is like.
No,
weird.
It's
like,
Gorkins.
Well, I mean, like, Leslie wants to be referred to as Lee, which is weird.
Well, that's because – no, it's not weird. It's because – She's trying to get close to him, so she doesn't want him to think of her as a doctor. Mm-hmm. She wants him to think of her as Lee.
Yeah, but the thing is her name's Leslie. Like, her actual name's Leslie.
Leslie, but her friends call her Lee.
See, I think that's just the thing I'm having a little trouble getting used to. And normally I don't, like, fanboy out, like, it's never happened in the comics, so it can't happen on Gotham thing. But she's always been referred to as Leslie or Dr. Tompkins. I don't think I've ever seen the comic book or the animated series version of her be referred to as Lee, which is why it's a little jarring, and I'm probably going to call her Leslie for like the next few weeks.
I'll just keep calling her Gorkins, even though she's not the whole Gorkins. Gorkins.
But, you know, the whole them getting together and, you know, it's heat of the moment sort of stuff, which is fine too, but it does still feel a little bit forced to me, especially like anytime she comes on screen, like the romantic score starts playing. Mm. It just seems a little too much. Mm. But I'm really hoping that now that they've, you know, treaded that water and got them together finally as of the end of this episode, that maybe they're going to have some really interesting stories together. I think that might be part of my problem too, is like we need them to be together so they can become interesting, but yeah. it's the getting there, and you know it's going to happen, right. And it's the puzzle pieces falling into place, and you just got to kind of wait for it, you know. So hopefully I that will improve. And I also kind of wonder when she's going to finally meet Bruce. Because
she's in on it, right?
Well, she was a very important figure in his life growing up, and she's also, when he becomes Batman, she's one of the only people besides Alfred who knows the secret.
Hmm. Well, it can't be too soon, though. Like that's the problem, is you can't reveal everything that you you know happens in season one.
Yeah.
Otherwise, are already guaranteed season two. Shocker. Mm.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, she's supposed to be a figure, like kind of like a mother figure for Bruce.
I can see that.
During his childhood. So I'm hoping, you know, they get together soon. Maybe they'll meet up at Haley Circus. Okay, you wanted to take us out with a couple last things?
Some more Zazz.
All that Zazz.
So he seemed really, as I said, he seemed really hell-bent on ramping up Falcone. You're doing this for respect.
Mm-hmm.
And he just didn't seem to be taking it seriously. So do you think Zazz would go after him?
Like go after Falcone?
Mm-hmm. Taking over. Or is he just the assassin guy?
No, I could definitely see that. And I mean, obviously, the character's a little touched anyway, but he's going to have a break to be the character he is in the comics. Because, like, Zazz in the comics, I always picture him as, like, you know, like Carnage in the Spider-Man mythos or Siler in Heroes.
Thank you. Thank you for a reference.
Where
I know.
He's just this psychotic wild card rolling around. And if he's out, everyone needs to be on getting him because he's going to leave as many bodies behind him as possible.
Sort of like when Zazz and the assassin bitches at the end. That's what I call them. See, you had something much nicer. Mine's the assassin bitches.
Riot girls.
Nah, I like assassin bitches.
Fair enough. Assassin bitches. Assassin bitches.
Assassin bitches.
No, but I definitely... He needs to have a break as a character, like... And then things could get crazy. He could definitely start going after Falcone or Maroni or anybody.
Yeah, anybody.
Anybody at all. You want to do some – did you bring your notebook?
I didn't. See, this is what happens. We talked about it earlier. When nothing happens or we hate an episode, we just keep talking and talking and talking. When we absolutely love an episode and so much stuff happens, we're like, and done.
And done.
And we didn't get that much feedback. So.
Oh, I did like that the electrocutioner referred to Gotham as an abandoned factory full of broken machines. I thought that was a really good
metaphor. He was talking about Gotham?
Yeah, he was talking about the city in general.
Kind of thought it was Arkham.
Let's see here. Oh, also I thought it was cool that Jim's dad got thrown back in his face by the commissioner again, the former DA. I wonder – no, he died, didn't he? He's dead.
You're asking the wrong person.
I'm pretty sure Falcone said that in that scene from the pilot. Let's see. Anything else
choking
fun
myself
here?
With my scarf.
I also really like that Falcone kind of he kind of got his groove back in this episode. You know, because through a lot of the series, he's just been kind of like this ghost. Like, he's spoken of as a presence in the city. And, I mean, you see that a few times, like when he kills that mobster at dinner a couple episodes back and everything.
Uh-huh.
But he's kind of just been this ghost floating around like, what am I even doing here? Like, your old grandpa.
I don't know.
I just need some Triscuits. sort of thing. And so it was kind of nice to see him fully, like, unleash that cold, lethal...
I'm sorry, did you just say something about Triscuits?
I did.
Okay. It sort of glazed for a second. Anyway, okay.
No, but I just... It was really nice to kind of see him come into his own. And as you said earlier when we were discussing it off the air, this is the Dawn, and this is
why... This is why he's the Dawn.
Yeah.
That entire last scene...
Yeah.
Is why he's the Dawn.
Yeah, because he's just been so neutered, like, for a lot of the season. Sorry. Neutered.
No, he's just been... He doesn't seem to have found a reason to, like, make a big move.
Mm-hmm.
And this was... It woke him up. It woke up the mean guy.
Yeah.
But while keeping his composure, he never once went off the handle. I mean, he killed someone with his bare hands, but he didn't go off the handle.
It makes me a little sad for him, though, because I think he was just about to find his peace until he found out about Liza.
I know.
Too.
He was actually way okay with going off into the fields with Liza, and I think she'd have been fine with that.
Definitely.
They'd have both been happy.
Okay, let's see here. Arbitrary scale.
Oh, here we go.
Out of 17 voodoo dolls that don't look like Maroney.
Oh, it totally did.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
How many voodoo dolls that don't look like Maroney?
How many is this out of 10?
17.
17? I don't know what's going on.
What'd you give this episode?
15.
Why?
Because it was awesome. So many things happened. All of the things were happening. Zazz.
Okay, and let's see here. As for me, I think I'd give it 14.
Okay.
I think if this episode had any fault, and our listener will have
listener.
one of our listeners will have a similar sentiment coming up in a minute here. But if anything, I thought it was a little too overstuffed. Like these were all things that we knew were going to happen this season, and we were excited for them to happen this season. Was not expecting them all to happen in the same episode. But
in the same episode or so quickly.
Yeah, but overall, really, really, really enjoyed it. Let's see here. Yeah, okay, before we get into the news and everything, I just wanted to mention real quick, I don't know if you guys remember or not, but I write a series of books about a teen superhero, 14-year-old superhero named Dog Boy, and I've been releasing the latest book in a serialized format over the past month and a half or so. In episode 3, the final episode is out this Saturday, and you can pre-order it now. But Anne-Marie, why don't you tell people a little bit about the plot, and then I'll tell people where to find it.
Okay, so I'm just going to read what you have here because you put it a lot better than me. Okay.
Fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, do it up.
I wasn't sure if you wanted me to put it in my own words or anything because
that's fine.
That's not going to work for anybody. Colta City is a timeless old town, but time is catching up with it. Old friends and old enemies close in around Bronson Black, and an impossible choice hangs over him. As the modern world bleeds through, Dog Boy considers the past. His decision could spell the end of his crime fighting career, but maybe that's a good thing.
But maybe it is. Maybe it is.
Maybe it is. No,
that's a Dog Boy Eye of the Scarab. And you can pick that up at bit.ly/Eye of the Scarab. And it's 99 cents per episode or $3 for the whole thing. Like I said, the pre-order for episode 3 is up now. I would really appreciate it if you pick it up. If you pick it up, like it, please leave a review.
Yes, please.
And if you don't have money, just go to bit.ly/dogboybook and pick up the first book in the series free of charge. And now, on to the news.
News. Marshall gives it 15 out of 17 voodoo dolls.
Excellent. Thank you, Marshall.
Thank you, Marshall.
Did Bobby give it anything?
Bobby did not give it anything.
Bobby's
ignoring me.
Okay, ratings. Gotham scored a 2.2.
He gives it. Oh, it kind of makes sense that this all happened. Oh, see, Bobby, the words of wisdom. It kind of makes sense that this is all happening already, considering they originally were set for 13 episodes.
Very true. Very true.
Mind blown. So Bobby wasn't ignoring me. He was just, you know, correcting us. And
yeah, which is his job.
That's his job.
That's what we pay him for.
That's what we pay him the big bucks for. Thank you, Bobby.
So as far as ratings, Gotham scored a 2.2, down from a 2.5 for the last episode a couple weeks back, which is good. And, I mean, it's expected, too, because when you come back from a break.
And then you go on a break.
You usually hit a high, and then it kind of dwindles throughout the season. So that's pretty normal. Mm-hmm. We've seen that before.
Yes.
Not a big deal. Okay, next up, we're going to we don't play the promo on the show because we don't want to get a takedown from YouTube or anything. But we're going to watch it and tell you what happens in it. And before I even hit play, Penguin is standing in front of a spotlight. Yes, in the spotlight.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Celebrities.
And he's throwing a party throwing at Fish's club.
Because it's his club now.
Yes.
No sign of Fish, but except there is.
She's in the torture chair.
Yeah.
Reminiscent of Saw. But it looks like this is going to be a very strong episode for Jada.
Yeah.
And things are getting intense and intense.
I think I saw Zaz.
Yeah, Zaz shot somebody. And it looked like they were going to break Fish's legs. And
I don't know. Fish is laughing at somebody coming at her with a giant.
She might die next episode.
But again, as Bobby said, if we were only supposed to have 13 episodes, so that would have been the finale. Also, he gives it 16 out of 17.
Excellent. Yeah, and that would have timed out to be this one coming up would be about the finale. So Fish dies. I like it.
Hey, we called that part at least.
Okay, let's see here. A couple other stories we wanted to point out to you. And as always, you can find links to these in the show notes for this episode 21, at legendsofgotham.com. Now, first off, I ran across this cute story from the AP.
He just used the word cute.
It's cute.
From the AP.
But Claire Foley, the actress who plays Ivy Pepper / Poison Ivy on Gotham, says she's got a baby brother convinced that she is the future Batman nemesis, and she's using it to her advantage. In an interview, the 13-year-old actress said that she thinks it's kind of funny that her 4-year-old brother, Declan, truly believes that she and the character she plays are the same person. And I just thought it was really, really funny and really, really cute.
That is really cute, but he's only 4. I was hoping he was at least like 7.
Okay,
baby.
And the next story we're going to cover has some spoilers, so go ahead and skip forward a minute or two if you don't want to be...
Or just deal with it.
Yeah, but basically, Flying Graysons are coming to town. There are some leaked... Well, not even leaked. Some official photographs were released on actors' Twitters and from some extras there on the day. From episode
That's
6...
That's crazy that they were letting extras release things.
Yeah, but episode 16, The Blind Fortune Teller, is going to introduce Haley's Circus and the Flying Graysons, which, awesome. If you don't know, the Flying Graysons, mom and pop to little baby Batman Robin over there, Dick Grayson.
Batman Robin?
Little baby Batman. Or Bat Boy, I guess we could call him. But he doesn't dress like a bat. He dresses like a Robin.
He's Robin.
Maybe Bird Boy? Bird Brain. Whack.
Wow, I don't really know what's happening.
But
now.
No, we got this Flying Graysons poster and the script cover and some of the circus stuff. And then we have...
Is that Jim?
Yeah, Jim. Oh. And then him and Leslie.
Gorkins.
Gorkin. Hashtag Gorkin right here. Out on a date. Haley's Circus. Gorkin. It's going to be fun. And our last story here...
They look so happy.
And I know that Robin Lord Taylor, the Penguin, was really pumped about that this week. So I figured it was definitely worth a mention. Danny DeVito has seen his performance as the Penguin, and he approves. Danny DeVito says, "I've watched the show, and I think he's a very good young Penguin." So, and also mentions that Robin is a terrific actor, which I agree with. And then they ask him if he would be willing to appear on Gotham. And he says, "I don't know about that." Again, it's all about the schedules and the parts and like how the thing is written and what it would be like. There are so many
particulars.
That's a bad Danny DeVito.
That was horrible Danny DeVito. We're going to hope that Danny DeVito doesn't listen to this.
Hey, Andy Kaufman, get over here and
stop.
Pretend to be a foreign man.
Shh, drink coffee.
Okay, but that's all the news.
You see, now you're still sticking to it. You're like,
Trollfoot.
Wow.
People who follow Danny DeVito on Twitter will get the Trollfoot thing. Okay, but let's see. We have some voicemails. As always, we like you to run to your computer when you've finished watching Gotham and email us, legendsofgotham@gmail.com. The Twitter is @legendsofgotham. The Facebook is facebook.com/legendsofgotham. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And a couple people did that today.
We did.
The first of them, Michael. Take it away, Michael.
Hey, Bill and Anne-Marie. This is Michael Lucero.
Howdy.
This was a pretty good episode of Gotham, all in all. I kind of expected the electrocutioner storyline to last a little bit longer, but the way they handled it was pretty satisfying, if a bit truncated. My only complaint is that it distracted a bit from Fish's big gambit, and especially from Penguin being able to play a larger role in that storyline, which is kind of another thing I kind of expected to happen differently. I expected the Liza plan to be a little bit more than just a simple hostage situation. but I don't consider that a major disappointment. The story being what it was, I think it was still filled with a lot of drama and great character interactions, especially between Penguin and Fitch at the end. So all in all, I would give this episode 401 out of 472 floating newspapers with dramatic headlines.
I agree with that.
Fitch's story being a bit overshadowed. It's the first episode yet that I'd give a B score instead of an A, but despite my minor disappointment, I think that's still a pretty amazing feat for a show. To say its weakest episode is at a B level, that's pretty good. I'm really enjoying Gotham so far. I don't think this was a huge disappointment, just a minor. So I can't wait to find out about the shootout at the end, especially. I have a feeling we haven't seen the last of Fitch. Can't wait to hear the podcast, and I'll talk to you all later. Bye.
And Michael did write in right after he sent in the voicemail just to clarify that he wasn't saying that it was a bad episode or the content was bad. That right. Just that, like I mentioned, I agreed with him. It was a little overstuffed. If it had just been the electrocutioner, mm-hmm. it would have been cool. If it had just been the fallout with Fish mm-hmm. and Liza, would have been cool. He felt it was a little too much, which was my main That's complaint fair. About
yeah,
the episode.
Yeah, there was
too.
A lot going on.
For sure. Okay, and we'll wrap up with thoughts from Woo. Take Woo! It away, Woo.
I think this is my favorite episode of the season thus far. I thought everybody's performances was phenomenal, especially Ben McKenzie and James Gordon. I loved him not backing down to anybody, especially Commissioner Loeb, who I love that they casted the guy that was Wayne Szalinski on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the TV show in the 90s. Nice. I love that they casted him as Commissioner Loeb. I loved Edward Nygma's scene in this episode because, and Meeks, you'll understand this reference, the one bad day. I love that.
Yes, the one bad day. That's from Alan Moore's The Killing Joke. It's by some, it's considered the definitive Joker story slash origin. Mm-hmm. And the basic, it's the story where the Joker shoots Batgirl and paralyzes her.
Oh.
And basically, he's trying to prove a philosophical point to Batman mm-hmm. that the only thing that separates Batman from the Joker is one bad day and how you handle it.
Okay.
Because he has a suspicion that the same sort of thing happened to Batman. He just had one bad day and dressed up in a bat suit and fought crime while the Joker became the Clown Prince of Crime or whatever.
Okay. That's fair.
You know, beyond all the weirdness, Edward Nygma is just like a normal guy that just wants to connect with the girl he has feelings for, and he can't find the right words to say to the woman he has feelings for, which I find kind of ironic that the Riddler has a hard time forming words and choosing the right words to say. I love Robin Lord Taylor again as the Penguin. Loved his little mimicry of Back to the Future Part 3, Doc Brown, when he woke up in the ambulance and fell back asleep again. I thought that was hilarious.
I actually didn't catch that Back to the Future 3 thing until you mentioned it. But that happens in Back to the Future 3 when they're getting ready for the shootout. Doc Brown stays out all night with a shot, about to drink it. And then they're like, okay, we got to go and, you know, go back to the future or whatever. And he mm-hmm. takes the shot and he immediately passes out because he's never had alcohol before.
Nice.
And then there's like a wake up thing where you like, yeah. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
One of the most powerful scenes in the whole episode, though, was Don Falcone's performance throughout the entire thing. Really great performances again. I give this episode 5 red velvet cupcakes out of 5. Talk to you guys later. And with bullets. Bye bye.
What?
And with bullets.
Oh, okay. And with bullets.
No, but thank you very much, Wu. And as I said, next week when you get done watching Welcome Back, Jim Gordon, mm-hmm. run to your computer.
Welcome back.
Knock away any loved ones that you run past as you get to your computer. Email us, legendsofgotham@gmail.com. Tweet us at legendsofgotham. Facebook is facebook.com/legendsofgotham. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352.
Do you have the P.O. box?
I don't have it pulled up. Just go to the website and click on contact.
Okay.
I was wanting to mention, though, and we should have mentioned this at the top of the episode, opportunity lost. Oops. We're starting a new podcast this week.
Oh, yeah. Universe Box.
Universe Box. Thursday night, 8:30 p.m. EST on January 22nd, we're going to be recording the first episode of our new story-based podcast, yes. Universe Box. Stories to a theme, basically. The theme for this first week's episode is home. And we'll be talking about Rainbow Bright and Galaxy High cartoons because we watched them when we lived at home.
That reminds me, I need to watch Rainbow Bright tomorrow.
Yeah, and we have a couple short video pieces and listener contributions. It's going to be great, and it's really based mainly around like listener feedback and everything. Yep. So it's going to be a lot of fun. If you want to watch that, even if you don't, you aren't able to get there Thursday night, just go to youtube.universebox.com and click subscribe, and then it'll show up right in your YouTube feed. Yes. And we'd really love to see you there. If you like how we approach Gotham, I think you're going to like Universe Box too, and it's going to be more general. So even when Gotham's not on the air, we're still going to have really good content coming out there.
And our P.O. Box is P.O. Box 2641, Ackworth, A.C., W.R.T.H., Georgia, 30102. Send us fun things and we'll put them in here.
Yeah, anything flat we'll put up here. And, I mean, we'll take some treats, too.
Yeah, we're not opposed to treats.
We have no shame.
We really don't. We're like, give us stuff.
Okay, so, Anne-Marie, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at AMDSimone. Marie Cam, unexpected hair. And I also have a blog, crunchycrafty.com. I should look in the camera.
Yes. And as for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Bill Meeks. And you can follow the words I write at dogboyadventures.com. You can follow the podcast and get all the show notes for this episode at legendsofgotham.com. And you can give me a hug because I'm feeling kind of sad right now.
Air hug.
Until next week, or no, that's not how we do this.
That's not how this frog show.
We're never going to nail this.
Nope.
We're never going to nail this.
I don't even know.
Join us next time for more
Legends of Gotham.